Hey, do you ever look at your closet and think you have nothing to wear? Or is it just me? It's not just me, right? This is why I can't believe I didn't discover Armoire clothing rentals earlier. With an Armoire membership, I can now build the perfect wardrobe with high-quality brands that I wouldn't normally think I could afford, such as Philip Lim, Monique Lhuillier, and Marni. Doesn't it just sound fancy? To get started, all you have to do is take a 5-minute style quiz and select items from your dynamic, personalized closet. The styles show up at your door in as little as 2 days. And then when you're ready for new clothes, boom, swap them out for more new-to-you styles. I recently rented a pale lime green leather blazer from Alice and Olivia. You may have seen it on our Instagram stories. I am obsessed. It's so perfect. If you're like me who doesn't want to spend all that time putting together a look, but also loves looking stylish. Right now, our listeners can give Armoire a try and get up to 50% off their first month. That's up to $125 off. Just visit armoire.style/dateable. That is armoire.style. That's spelled armoire.style/dateable to get up to 50% off your first month and never worry about what to wear again. Try Armoire today.
The Dateable Podcast is an insider's look into modern dating that the Huffington Post calls one of the top 10 podcasts about love and sex. On each episode, we'll talk to real daters about everything from sex parties to sex droughts, date fails to diaper fetishes, and first moves to first loves. I'm your host, Yue Xu, former dating coach turned dating sociologist. You'll also hear from my co-host and producer, Julie Krafchik, as we explore this crazy dateable world.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to another episode of the Dateable Podcast, where we like to be very nosy about why people do the things that they do and say the things that they say. I am here with Julie, my lovely
Hello.
Co-host and producer, and we are kicking off Hot Girl Summer like it's the end of the world. That's what it feels like.
Yes. Hot Facts Summer, Hot Girl Summer, Hot Shock Summer. There's so many variations of it, but we are officially in summer.
People are going nuts right now. I saw footage of my friends in LA, or not in LA, in Vegas, in Miami. It's like nothing happened.
Oh, yeah. You
know? It's like bumper to bumper.
I know. It's going to be interesting. I don't know. I was like looking actually at this. It's like a music venue and they're taking reservations through OpenTable, and they had a vaccinated section and the not yet vaccinated section.
Oh, shit.
And I was like, I'm wondering if there's going to be more of that happening like at venues. It's so interesting.
Oh, that would be really interesting. But it's also the honor system, right? Nobody's carrying around their vaccine cards. Or not
no,
that
they,
I see.
They made you, oh, they made do. You show them at this one at least.
Oh, I see. Okay.
I'm definitely noticing like a rift between some people that are vaccinated and some aren't. And I think at this point it's kind of by choice, because it feels like at the beginning, like maybe it was like I couldn't get an appointment, but it feels like now that's not really the reason anymore. So it's just really interesting what this is going to do like long term to society. Like I know some people that are like, well, eventually, airplanes might make you show a vaccination card, or you might be able to like get into a club with a vaccination card. So it's going to be really interesting to see what happens like with the different dynamics and friend groups and dating. Like I could totally see that becoming a thing if you're dating someone new and you had opposing views on it.
Yeah. And come June 15th, we don't have to wear masks inside anymore here in California. But that's on the honor system. And mm-hmm. Are we going to get to a place where maybe there are people who don't believe in vaccinations, but they still want to be part of the social gatherings and events? So is there going to be like a black market for fake vaccination cards?
I've seen that happening. People are like going to like get them like fake IDs. It's like a thing.
Shit.
Yeah.
Shit. We've come to that. And also, how scary is it right now going what's going on in China and in India with this new strain? I mean, I think it's just going to I don't know if this is completely over, guys. I don't think we need to be partying like it's crazy right now. I think we should still try to be safe because mm-hmm. there are new strains coming out and we are not completely protected from it all.
Well, I read stats somewhere too that's like if you look at like stats of unvaccinated people, it's just as bad as it was in January. It's just getting pulled down because of the overall population. So for anyone that's dating out there, make sure you know your person. person's status. I am curious if there's like going to be more and more vaccination cards like as profile photos that are fully there. We definitely saw the rise of the term. I think there was some stat that like you got like 2x the amount of likes or something if you had a reference to vaccines or being vaccinated.
I would be like, okay, this person's safe. But that's just my personal opinion. I also feel like when I saw my vaccination card, I was like, this is it. It's handwritten. It's like on a flimsy piece of paper. I thought it was going to be more official, like a plaque, you know, something I can carry around or on my keychain. Mm-hmm. No, this is something you can totally forge and just make a photocopy of.
Well, you know what it's really like over is when sex parties come back. That's what we
know. Are they not back yet?
I mean, who knows? They could be, but sex pods, that was something that was happening.
Yeah. Those sex pods will just get bigger and bigger to the point of sex parties, and then we're back.
Yeah. So UA and I had such a blast recording this week's episode. Speaking of sex pods and sex parties and, you know, butt play and all the good stuff, we had the honor of being with an old friend of ours, Rockwood Blake, that used to live in San Francisco. He's now in Estonia. So he's gone to a different part of the world. We were like, you know what? I don't know why we haven't had him earlier, but he has some of the best stories because he had this tour called Story Party, which actually was very similar to Dateable in a way of just like, you know, dating stories, or at least where Dateable started. So we were super excited to have him. We all know you love a good story, and this guy is a great storyteller. So even if the topic you don't think you're interested in pegging, maybe you will be by the end, but just listen for the, you know, the storytelling in itself is totally worth a listen. Guarantee you will crack up while listening to this.
We love to see the stats of who listens. I mean, not exactly who listens to episodes. We cannot trace you back by name and address, but we like to see listenership just based on the episode topic alone. And we know some of the more, let's see, philosophical topics are really popular. Attachment styles.
I thought you were going to say pegging, philosophical topics.
Well, yeah, then Julie and I have this theory that sex topics are also, sex and fetishes are also very popular topics. And surprisingly, they haven't been as popular as more the philosophical ones. And it makes me wonder, is it because people are set in their sexual ways that maybe it's like, oh, if this doesn't apply to me, I don't need to listen? Mm-hmm. Or are they turned off by things that are not in their sexual wheelhouse? So we're encouraging you, if you're just listening to this now and you didn't realize this was an episode about pegging, which is not, it's only part of the story, and you're like, oh, pegging, I would never do that, or pegging, I don't know what that is, that's a good sign. You should keep listening because you will be very intrigued by what pegging is and all the other sexual acts we could be doing out there.
So I was able to finally go on a girls' trip this weekend. That was originally planned for April 2020, but clearly never happened. So we finally went.
A little delay.
Yep, just a little delay. We went to the Russian River up in Sonoma, and I was telling them about this episode because it's so funny. I'm so excited to air this one. And they all stared at me with like a blank face that no one knew what pegging was. I thought it was just like a common term, but signs you've been doing a dating and sex podcast for too long.
I don't think I knew what pegging was till like 5 years ago.
Not now, you know.
Is it a newer term, you think? I don't know. I need to into the history.
We talk about it on the episode, but it was Broad City, that TV show that put it on the map for me.
Yeah. I heard it once before that. Maybe Broad City is the one that put it on the map, but I think the word pegging has been around for a while. I just never really thought about digging into it. No pun intended. But now I know so much about it. Sexual interests and fetishes, I think, are completely fascinating. And if I were a listener of this show, which I am, it's the sexual ones that I'm really interested in.
UA's racking up the downloads on those ones. You know, you loved puppy play.
Because I'm like, wait, where do you go to get these toys? How do you learn this?
I think it might have been Swati, one of our hosts and moderators, that she said that like during the podcast discussion group for Puppy Play, everyone commented that UA seemed really into it.
I am. Not that I'm not like trying to do this. You know, I'm not like, oh my gosh, tomorrow to my partner, let's try puppy play or I want to peg you. But I want to plant the seed because I do think if you're going to be with someone forever, down the line, you got to have more tricks in the bag. You'll be like, okay, we got pegging, we got puppy play, we got like ear fetishes. I don't know. Take a strand of my hair, smell it, to get put it up your ass. I don't know. I don't know if that fetish is called. But Julie, I'm like, I know at some point I will run out of tricks and I need to pull from my bag from Dateable.
I 100% agree because it's like only the, you know, the ones that are the common ones only go so far. Like when you've been with someone for like, I don't know, even like 5 years, I feel like it could get old. Even like a couple years, I think it could get old.
Do you remember... I don't know if you can pinpoint this. Do you remember when you first learned about 69? Because I feel like that was like the first kind of like non-traditional thing I learned
about. Which now no one does ever.
What do you mean? Is that not a thing anymore?
I did it last night.
Is there another number I should be aware of?
No, it's there's like a known thing that it's like an uncomfortable, weird position. At least, you know, maybe you don't feel the same way. You always look at me in utter disbelief right this minute. I would love to hear from our listeners who is pro 69, who is not 69. But like, it's like a known thing out there that it like sounds way better than it actually is. It's like sex on the beach or something that like in theory sounds good and then it's just not. But maybe you feel different. I don't want to put words in your mouth.
When I learned about 69, I wasn't having sex. I think I was like 10 or something. And I remember just thinking like, that is disgusting. And how do you get your body into that position? And are you like smelling their butt? You know, those were the thoughts going on my head. So when I tried 69 for the first time when I was 11, no, just kidding. I was probably like 25 the first time I ever tried it. And it was very much intentional. It wasn't like 69 is not one of those things that like you just end up in.
Stumble in. Yeah. You definitely can't just like stumble in there. No way.
You're like, oh, ooh, how do we end
how
up
do we
in this
get
position?
Here?
It's very intentional. It's like, hey, do you want a 69?
It just sounds so juvenile to me. I'm sorry if I'm like offending anyone that likes this. It just sounds so like, because I think it's because like what you said, you learn about it when you're like, I remember learning about it at summer camp and everyone thought it was like so funny. And you know, then when the number 69 came out, everyone would giggle. And it's just like, it reminds me juvenile. And I think that's why I have that connotation. But maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it's a thing that people do all the time. I don't know.
Let's take a poll. Who likes 69? My issue with it is that I cannot multitask when I'm having sex. So I have to like pleasure someone else while trying to receive pleasure.
It's a lot.
I feel like I can only be good at one of those at a time. And then I abandon the other part, right? So I've used my teeth many times with 69 because I forgot that I was doing something for pleasure here, and I'm more receiving, and then I'm like, oh fuck, sorry for biting
your penis.
I don't know,
UA. I think this is an Instagram poll. I think this needs to happen.
Okay, I'm putting this on Instagram.
Get on it.
Who's still 69? And then it's like, what's your age?
Yes, exactly. Exactly. How old are you?
Do you know what a 69 is? Yeah. Do kids these days even know 69?
No, I'm sure it's not cool. Like anything that we thought was cool is definitely not cool now.
Do you know what is cool? I'm going to transition us out of 69 because I'm getting a little hot.
Oh, hot and heavy with this?
Hot and heavy. I'm so turned on just thinking about 69. Oh my God. I love my body in that position. It's just like seeing the balls really up and close. My parents are very cool. I spent the whole weekend with them.
Oh my God, how did that transition from that to that?
Speaking of what's cool and
not
69.
Yeah.
My parents are amazing. I hope that they don't listen to this transition. Or they're going to go Google what 69 is.
Yeah, they're like, what is that?
What does that mean? Oh, Ariana Grande. Sorry. You know her song 3435?
Yeah.
You know why it's the name of that song?
Why is it the name of that song?
Add it up.
Oh, 69.
Yes. She's a juvenile girl. She is juvenile.
Wow. She was trying to stay classy by not saying 69. I did not know that.
Yes.
Wow.
I know.
So that's what the kids are saying now.
Do you want a 34, 35 with me?
Yeah.
Let's do
it. Okay, so how is this transitioning to your parents?
Transitioning to my parents. I just want to take up some airtime to talk about my parents, and I didn't realize I would go into all this long discussion about 69 and Ariana Grande. So I'm going to make it more mature now and talk about how amazing my parents are, because I would say my parents are the type of couple that fell in love later in life. Aww. They got married. I don't know if there was, I'm sure there was some baseline love to begin with, but they had kids. They had me right away, and they fell into this marriage right away. It's not an arranged marriage by any means, but I still don't think that they knew what true love was.
Mm-hmm.
But now, since they've been retired for almost a decade, they've learned to fall in love with each other. And I've never seen a couple who is just so perfect for each other. And I just, like, in total admiration, and just know that couples, even though they've been together for 40 years, are still learning to fall in love with each other every day. And they give me so much hope, because they choose this for each other every day. So I just want to give them a little bit of a shout out and airtime, because they deserve that recognition. And I'm just so proud of them.
I love it. I wanted to make a 69 joke that I thought it was terribly inappropriate. So I'll
my gosh. 69 joke?
I was like, I can't bring 69 to UA's parents. That's just not right.
Should we do like a music transition here? Yeah. So then we can like shift gears? Okay, back to 69.
I'm sorry. It's still on my mind. I haven't transitioned.
What's the joke? Tell me.
No. It wasn't like a specific joke. It was more just going to be a commentary. But I'm referring.
Oh, no. Julie, why do you do this all the time? She like says something. She just gives you the tip. It's just a tip with Julie. And you're like, give me the whole shaft. What were you going to say?
Oh, how fitting for this episode. How fitting for this episode. Well, I'm going to transition us transition us to our question of the day so we can get into that now. We have our new segment that's all about dating advice. And this week we have a question that's related to the topic. We try to stay on topic and compile a bunch of questions we get. We get a lot of questions all the time. So it might be not verbatim of what you sent in, but you probably know if you've sent in a question that resembles this question.
We've had a few men, hetero men, email in and say and ask, what turns on women the most? What is the biggest turn on for women? I'm trying to figure women out as I date them and I want to please them. So what is like the one surefire way to turn on a woman? And we're not going to speak for all women, but we're going to speak for our observations and our own experience.
So I don't know if there's like one surefire way, like if you're going to go like technical of like things you can do. But what I would say to this question is enthusiasm, being like happy to be there, and then also focused on her pleasure. Like, how can you give her pleasure? I would say if you can just focus on those two things, that's going to be how you unlock that. And it might take exploring a little, because no two women are the same. And maybe she knows what she wants and she can direct you, or maybe she doesn't know and you might have to do like a little more trial and error. But I think if you're going in with those two attitudes, like that's how you'll be able to pleasure a woman.
Yes, the attitude. It's all in the attitude. Sometimes you may not be great at what you're doing, but if the attitude of you're like super enthusiastic about what you're doing, it sets a different mood. It's a good mood.
Yeah, you gotta just try. Just give it your A-star effort, right? A's for effort.
I would say the biggest turn on for many of the women that we've talked to, myself included, would be confident eye contact.
Mm-hmm. I like that.
And I say this because if you just observe two people on a date, I challenge all of you to go to a restaurant, just pick out the couple that's on a date, maybe like the first three dates or something. I challenge you to just observe them and time how much they actually make eye contact. There's some stat out there that people on dates only make 10% eye contact.
Wow.
And that's insane to me, because all we're doing is like looking at the food, looking at our drink, looking elsewhere. But if you're not really looking at the person you're there with, how can you expect a connection? And that's why we drink so much on dates, because drinking loosens us up, and then we make eye contact when we're drunk, because you probably have a lazy eye when you're drunk, or you're just like, I can't turn my head as fast. But eye contact is so sexy. If a guy can hold my gaze not even say a word. That completely turns me on.
I thought this question was about the bedroom, but I think eye contact also carries over there as
absolutely.
Well.
Absolutely. Turns. Oh my gosh, there's nothing sexier than if a guy goes down on me and then comes up and makes eye contact. Oh my gosh.
Right.
Like the eye contact.
Yes. Right. Exactly. That's where I think enthusiasm, eye contact, and the ability to like focus on her pleasure. That's all you need. Those are the three.
That's all you need. But there are no tricks here. There's not like a finger twirl or nope. like a fist in there or like a double double toe. I don't know.
Double toe could work.
We're not saying it doesn't work, but I can't promise it works on all women. But if you just follow these three rules, you're guaranteed to get arousal from your partner.
Mm-hmm. And I like it. In and outside the bedroom, all three of those apply to even when you're on a date and you're not in the bedroom either. So quick announcements. We have a live stream with June's member of the month. They are an exceptional member of the community. I will not say any more because I feel like if I, you know, keep going, I might disclose who they are.
No clues.
But let's just say you got to come to see who they are. So this one we're going to be doing on Wednesday, which is most likely the day you're listening to this. So if you're not already in love in the time of Corona, our public Facebook group, come on in. And the live stream is going to start at 6:15 or 6:15 PST, 9:15 EST. It will just automatically appear in the group. So you don't have to do anything. All you have to do is be in the group at that time. It's super fun when people like comment in the chat. And if you do miss it, you can always watch it later. But it's fun to be there, you know, real time.
And people get rowdy in there. We'll be discussing 69 for sure. On this live stream. You bet. And maybe my parents too.
We're just waiting. Oh God. We're just waiting for the day that Facebook kicks us off the live stream. So we're just going to keep pushing the boundaries every single week.
What did we talk about last time? Titty fucking? Was that
one? No. That was a long time ago.
We did talk about that.
A more inappropriate one. Yes.
I'm like, titty fucking versus 69, they would have kicked us off at titty fucking already. So I think we're safe.
This is how we know if Facebook is spying on us and watching us.
They really don't care about
us. They don't. They're just like, go for it. Knock your socks off.
It's numbers.
Yep. Then our other announcement is for the sounding board. We have our June month ready to go. We're going to have Corey Rosen, one of our past guests from Your Story Well Told, also the title of his book. We love this episode because it was all about like, how do you tell your story? Whether that's like the dreaded, why are you single? Or why are you divorced? Or whatever like that, like cringy, like life one that you don't know how to like articulate, or it's just telling a freaking good story on a date and bonding with your date. It can be whatever level of story you want, but you're going to learn all the techniques. And I've taken his classes before and they are phenomenal. And honestly, this is such a good value to just join this, to get this alone. Like it's going to be an incredible time.
And even if you're not dating, the storytelling is going to be so valuable for you. I was talking to a recruiter friend of mine and she said all the candidates that come in, her first question to them is, what's your story of getting to this role today? And she said maybe like 2 out of 10 can answer that question. So this is so valuable for every facet of life, but especially for dating when someone asks you, what's your story?
Yep.
What's your story? How'd you get? Why are you still single?
And even if you've been in a relationship for years, what better way to come in and dazzle them with a new story?
Dazzle.
So if you're not on the sounding board yet, we have limited seats to these events. You can also join at a lower tier that does not include the events, or you can go a level up and get a coffee chat with UA and I every month. Mm-hmm. And you also, if you go the level up, you also get access to the event. So go to datablepodcast.com/soundingboard. You can read about it all there and find what works for you.
Yes. And for the coffee chats, you can talk about whatever you want. Yeah. It's up to you.
Yeah. We have people like talking about things that aren't dating related even. Like it can be what
anything you want.
We're just here to shoot the shit, basically. But you can, of course, talk to us about your dating issues. We know that's probably why you're here, realistically.
Yeah. Just, anything you want. If you want to talk about 69, totally. Anything. Go for it.
You can use that 30 minutes to tell us why you love that position so much. Make a case for it. Okay. Let's take a quick break for our sponsors.
If there's ever been a year to make the dads in your life feel loved and appreciated on Father's Day, it's this one. This is our first Father's Day out of quarantine, and I know I am excited to spend it with my dad, IRL. And this year, I'm honoring my dad with a heartfelt, sentimental gift the whole family can cherish together forever. StoryWorth. StoryWorth is an online service that helps your dad, grandfather, father-in-law, and every father figure in your life share stories through thought-provoking questions about their memories and personal thoughts. It's a fun way to engage with them, especially if you can't be together in person. This is how it works. Every week, StoryWorth emails your dad a different story prompt, like, what things are you proudest of in life? In fact, StoryWorth has already created a wonderful experience for me because I got to document my dad's story told from his POV. There's no shortage of surprises when reading the weekly stories, and they make your family feel close even if you're not together. After 1 year, StoryWorth will compile all of your dad's stories, including photos, into a beautiful keepsake book that's shipped for free. Give your dad the most meaningful gift this Father's Day with StoryWorth. Get started today with no shipping required by going to storyworth.com/dateable. You'll get $10 off your first purchase. That's storyworth.com/dateable for $10 off. This episode is made possible by one of our favorites, BetterHelp. Thank you so much, BetterHelp, for sponsoring this episode. What are some things that you like to change in your life to find more happiness? What do you think is preventing you from achieving these goals? The simple answer, at least in our eyes, is you gotta prioritize your mental health. We at Dateable are huge fans of therapy, and BetterHelp can match you with your own licensed therapist and connect you in a safe and private online environment. I was able to start communicating with my therapist in less than 48 hours. So boom, you get connected and you're ready to go. BetterHelp is committed to facilitating great therapeutic matches, and it's more affordable than traditional offline counseling. Their licensed professionals specialize in everything from stress, setbacks, dating trauma. So for the new year, we wish for all of you to live a happier life. And that's why, as a listener, you'll get 10% off your first month by visiting our sponsor at betterhelp.com/dateable. Join over 1 million people who have taken charge of their mental health. Again, that's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P. .com/dateable.
Awesome. Well, let's hear it for the man himself, Mr. Rockman Blake.
We are so lucky to have Rockman Blake with us, the king of storytelling. He has sold out audiences in over 65 countries with his brainchild Story Party, which has people sharing their true dating stories. That sounds both hilarious and just terrifying at the same time. He is 36 years old, currently lives in Estonia. He's been there for 6 months, originally from New Jersey, and in a monogamous relationship. Julie went to one of his shows in San Francisco, and she came out of it, I think it was like 3 hours, right, Julie?
Yeah, it was a long show, but it was super entertaining. And I remember I went with Courtney Kay. We'll give Courtney a shout out. And I remember just like being like blown away by just hilarious it was and how many good stories there were. Because you just never know. You know, people always think their dating stories are funny, but you guys had some damn funny stories.
Yeah, thank you.
Rockman, how are you?
I'm doing well. I'm doing well all the way over here in cold Estonia. It's a lot different from San Francisco. And that's kind of like where this whole show actually started, was in San Francisco. And I was listening to one of your podcast episodes with, I think his name was Jeff, talking about play. Mm-hmm. And then you kept saying, or one of you kept saying like, oh, play. I thought you were talking about, you know, like play, like San Francisco style.
I think both of our minds go there every single time.
So. You can't help it after you live in San Francisco and you go to Burning Man and, you know, you do some GHB. Yep. That's play just ends up happening, whether you like it or not.
Constantly mind is in the gutter after living here. So.
Right. And that's kind of what happened. I went to,
Sidebar. Why Estonia?
Why Estonia? Oh, geez. I wanted to go to a place where no one knew me. And that way I can just start all over again. Because I'm sure after you play this episode, you'll have a few ladies write in like, I went on a date with him. Fucking worst day ever. Worst day ever. He should be banned from dating.
I can't believe he is
alive right now.
Was that your MO in San Francisco? I was totally unaware.
You know, you get jaded when you date a lot, and you go on a lot of dates, and then at some point, your patience kind of runs thin. And I just went on so many dates in San Francisco that you know within the first few seconds whether or not you're feeling the vibe. And then the rest is just sort of you just being nice. Mm-hmm. So I got to a point where I was just dating constantly. And I was like, oh, God, like, I just know this is not going to work. And the women know, too. And I always say, like, women, if you don't, it should be like a weather forecast, you know, like you should just tell the guy, like, you got about 10% chance of penetration here, you know, 10% chance. You want to wrap this up now or do you want to go home? Yeah. So, I mean, I went on a few dates towards the end of my dating career and I left quite early. And I was like, hey, look, you know, I stopped giving reasons too. I was like, I have to go. And that got back to me. Another guy, a friend of mine who went on a date, he's like, yeah, man, I went on a date with this amazing girl. And she said, you kind of got up and left. And I was like, yeah.
Oh my God. Well, it's given you material for this, at least with the story party. That's yes. The only silver lining of a lot of. So, okay. So I remember one story quite vividly, but could you kind of enlighten us with one of your maybe top stories? Because we love dating stories over at Dateable too.
Oh, girl, let me tell you what happened. So I was in San Francisco. I moved there 2011 with this young lady. We drove across the country. First, we went to Burning Man, of course. You got to do that when you're a young millennial out west. I had to find myself and my spirit animals when I was out there. And we move in together to this guy who we met at a play party. And now I'm not like one of these like crazy overly sexual guys. I had just kind of started my journey into the underbelly of the, you know, dating world in San Francisco. And I went in like hard. We moved in with a guy who was kind of a seasoned vet. And you know, so you're hanging around these people and you're influenced by them. One of them was a porn actress at kink.com, and the subject kind of got thrown around about this idea of this pegging. And I never really heard of it. And so I started watching, you know, pegging porn just for research, just to see what it was all about. Just research. And
just for research.
Yeah. Like 40 gigs later, I was like, man, I kind of want to try this. And it's a weird thing because when you're a man and you're straight and you think that, all right, I want to put something on my butt, the immediate first thought for most straight guys is that's gay. Mm-hmm. And
right.
Mm-hmm. First of all, like when you say that's gay, that's, and they're saying that that's bad. You know, it's gay, you're straight, you can't do it, it's bad. And I feel like it's not gay. First of all, not being gay is not bad. Even if it is gay, it's not bad. But if it is gay, which it isn't, it's totally all right. And it's not gay if you don't tell your friends. That's the main thing. You just don't tell your friends.
I actually have heard a lot of guys say this. A lot of guys like the penetration, but there is that, you know, taboo and kind of, I guess, the reaction is totally there. I totally hear that.
Yeah.
Well, but guys always ask for a finger up their ass. Like, what's the difference between that?
They don't want to say that publicly, though. That's like
but I do think guys are okay saying I want a finger up my ass, but they don't want to say they want a dildo up their ass because that's in the shape of a penis.
Right. Yeah. Right.
That's weird. You know what's interesting is a lot of women have. And this happened to me a bunch of times in San Francisco. They hear their friends say a guy likes a finger up the butt. So what they try to do is. And they know the guy might be a little bit shy about it and he doesn't want to seem like he's gay. So the women will kind of just inch the finger slowly up the ass when the guy is distracted. You know, he's on top like, and she's like the itsy bitsy spider. She's just trying to test his
the water.
Yeah. The gay meter. You know, and then just the like, let's see how fruity he is. And so I've had that happen a bunch of times. Like I'm on top and I just kind of, her hands start like at the top of my back. And I just kind of feel them slowly inching down. I was like, oh, no, she does it.
Down the slope.
And I just quickly roll over and throw her on top. Like,
do you like it?
No.
Are you into it? No.
Not really. No. No. Okay. I'm not into the finger up the butt. Anymore. And it's because I
anymore.
Think the issue is like some girls really like it. And I guess I have to be comfortable with them. Some girls like it and they're like finger up the butt, boom, and they're it's fine. But they don't, sometimes they do it because they think the guy likes it and they don't really want to do it. Mm-hmm. So they'll get it in there. And then the rest of the night is like, where do I put the finger in the butt finger? You know, it's no longer, you can't just like roll around and be intimate. It's like, no. Oh, I don't want to touch anything.
It needs its own glove. It's just like, it needs its own condom. Like, hold it up the whole time.
Yeah, or she just takes a knife. She's like, I'll just chop this off. Okay, we're good to go.
Wait, so how did you go from I don't really like a finger to I want a dildo? Like, how did that transition happen?
Yeah, quite so that was the issue. at some point, spoiler alert, I just like, you know what? Nothing else off the butt. And that's what happened with this dildo story. So we're talking about it, and I'm looking it up. I was like, I gotta try this, you know? And one of the issues is when you watch a lot of porn, whatever you're seeing on the screen, you end up thinking like, it's going to be just like that for me. You know, I was enjoying watching it, but I was enjoying watching it because I had slowly desensitized myself by watching porn for like, I don't know, up to that point, must have been like 10 years, 14 years, and normal stuff doesn't get me off anymore. So I've graduated to female domination.
Right, right, right.
And it's so stimulating. It's so wrong. You know, you're taking a dick, which is wrong for a lot of straight guys. And then it's from a woman, which is even more wrong. So your mind is just melted. Like, oh, this is so such a turn on. But basically what happened is you're just like a junkie who no longer gets high off the normal stuff. So you got to shoot it into the vein.
Right.
So that's what happens.
Right. You're like, when you watch too much porn. Like no veins, just up the penis.
Up the dick.
Through the
penis. That's the only way I get through the urethra. That's the only way I get high. And what's so unfortunate is a lot of men, myself especially, just didn't realize this. I just thought that I had this fetish from deep down somewhere, and then I needed to explore it, and I just need to do this. And it wasn't until I stopped watching porn, the first time I took a fucking break for like 60 days to like half a year, that all of these fetishes really started to just fade away. You know, they were sort of still there, but you know, I'm willing to explore it just for funsies, but there wasn't this craving and obsession. So that it was really porn that kind of drove the interest and then kept it going after being desensitized to it over the years. So I was like, you know what? I saw what they did in that porn. I'm going to do the exact same thing. Let's go down to that porn shop in motherfucking... I think it's near Chinatown or North Beach. The one in North Beach, across the street from the Hustler Club. So you guys can all go to there.
Of course. Across the street from
the Hustler Club. Not good vibrations? You didn't go to Good Vibrations?
Not good vibes. I didn't know about good vibes at the time. So I was doing like this, the old school, you go late at night and you wear a disguise because you're ashamed of it kind of shit.
Well, let's pause there because pegging, let's just pause there. For anybody who doesn't know what pegging is and you're looking it up on Google, don't do it on your work computer, just saying.
Not safe for work.
Not safe for work. Is when the woman has a strap on and penetrating the man from the butt, obviously.
Consensually.
And the strap on has a dildo on it. Okay.
Yes.
Right. Did either of you see Broad City? You remember that TV show?
Yesterday. I just watched that episode.
That is the scene that like sticks out to me, which is actually ironic because the guy that got pegged in that scene, I went to high school with him randomly.
You did?
Yeah. I was like watching it. I'm like, what is happening? And why do I know Steven Schneider? That's right there. Yes.
That is funny. Yeah. Now he's known as the pegging guy forever. Yeah.
Yeah. He's the pegging guy, not you, Rockman. Don't worry.
Yeah, I had to stop telling the story because I've been known as a pegging guy. So we go to this sex shop and walk in, and there's like, I guess it's becoming more and more popular because there was like the pegging section. There was the strap-on section.
What?
And there's a little dude behind the counter. And I was like, you know, kind of like, hey, man, and I'm trying to be like, I've done this before. You know what I mean? which is the overcompensating male, toxic masculinity mindset of like, all right, I'm taking a strap on. I know what I'm fucking doing. Take a strap on up my ass.
Yeah.
So I go to the pegging section, strap on section. I'm with this girl and, you know, she's being nice about it. She's like, well, this is what you want. This is what you want. You know, it's for your birthday, so it's okay. And
so it was driven by you, not her.
Yes. And that's a common kind of misconception. And in the story, I kind of on YouTube's, I frame it more as like it was sort of her idea and whatnot. But the reality is it was my idea 100%. And when you hear about girls pegging dudes, most of like 9 out of 10 times it's the guy's idea. But men will kind of like to try to play it off like it's not, just so they can maintain what level of masculinity they think they're losing. So I was like, yeah, it's my idea. You know what? I want the fucking biggest one they have. I want the biggest strap on. I want the biggest one. Home. I want the anal annihilator 5000 with the attachment. I want the, and with this spikes. Thing with fucking spikes. This thing was ribbed, by the way. It was giant. It was purple. And it was ribbed.
Oh my
and
God.
It was so purple. Big. It had balls. Like, you don't need a strap on. It had balls. It was so huge, and the guy, it was all the way up top, so he had to get a little step ladder, and he brings this thing down, and it's been sitting there for a while because no one's that stupid to use it. And he like dusts it off. And I was like, that's it. That's my anal annihilator. And he's like, you're going to need some lube for this one. I was like, yeah, lube. Yeah, of course, man. I mean, I ran out because, you know, I did this all the time. And so he gives me like a little like packet. And then we pay for it. It's expensive too. Now, when I say like big, it's not the, some fetish people are probably listening to this and you're like, oh, okay. So it's big enough to like, you can, you know, choke a donkey on this thing. It was like big for a beginner. So about 8 inches. And I don't know what that is in centimeters for your European listeners.
That's pretty damn big. That's pretty
big. 8 inches and girthy?
8 inches and girthy with ribbed with balls.
I mean, I read somewhere like the average is like 5. So 8 is pretty damn big, especially for plastic.
I love that you read
plastic.
That somewhere, Julie. Do tell. Through my research, the average is 5.
I gave a questionnaire to my vagina. Vagina, what's the average dick size, Siri? What's the average dick size that's found into my
actually,
vagina?
Actually, Alexa.
Alexa, right.
Alexa's the dirty one. Siri's PG.
My asshole is Echo. Because you know, of all the big dicks in
Echo Dot anyway, or Echo?
Echo. This is Echo. So we were looking, we get the biggest one. I get the biggest one. And then we go back to this hotel room we were staying at because we didn't want to do it in the place that we were living because we didn't even have a door at this place that we were living. We just had a sheet. That's how it was like, you know, that's how it was. So we get to this hotel room and she's like, all right, I'm going to go to the bathroom and put it on. I was like, yeah, take your time. I'm like getting ready on the bed, trying to find a way to be like sexy. I don't know. And she comes out and it's like down to her knee, you know, it's like really long and it looks so much bigger on her than it does in the store. And I started to feel uncomfortable. I was like, this might not go how I planned, you know? Because in the porn, you see the guy like taking, he's like, oh, yeah, oh. And my whole idea is like, oh, I want to be the woman for once. Because you spend your whole life as a man trying to just bring the best dick you can. And it's not always the best, but you try as hard. And I was like, now I get to be the woman and I can sit there and just judge her performance and then just be like,
let her do all the work.
Yeah, let her do all the work.
This is why sweaty. Some guys like to be dominated, right? It's the reverse.
You get to give up. And the funny thing is, when girls I've known have worn strap-ons before, they always realize just how much work it is. And then they feel a bit of empathy. They're like, wow, you know, I can understand why the guy always falls asleep after he comes because he's you know, he's doing a lot of fucking work.
It's a lot of work. Yeah.
I remember watching that pegging video in Broad City. And I remember being like, damn, that looks like a lot of exertion. A lot of exertion.
Yeah. It could be a workout.
And you did no prep for this. Like, you did not like relax, take whatever it is, poppers to relax your butthole or any, nothing.
Oh,
you're just
God.
Like going into it thinking you were going to just get it.
The Dateable podcast was not around in 2011. You know? And sex positive pleasure ed stuff was still on the fringes. So you really had to scrape the internet for it. And I've since gone to, after the what happened, I since went to a bunch of workshops in San Francisco where they talk about this stuff, and I'll bring up that story almost like it's Alcoholics Anonymous. Like, hi, my name is Rockman. I was pegged. I live to talk about it. And then
yeah, I did not use lube. Yeah.
Same question. Everyone's like, you didn't fucking use lube, you noob. Fucking noob. I was like, I didn't know, man. He's fucking, what a noob. I had no idea that you were, I knew, you know, and she knew. But again, it was my idea. So she wasn't an expert. She was just, she had just done normal anal and she was trying her hardest to, you know, to make me feel comfortable in the situation. God bless her.
She wanted to give you a good birthday. That's all yes. she wanted. What a great girlfriend.
You know, put the lube on the thing, on the strap on, and I just pick like a little dab and then whoop on the butt. Like, that'll be enough. You know, you watch... The fucking Brokeback Mountain, was it Heath Ledger? Whoever it was, it was like a spitting in. But those are rough cowboys. So, you know, they're used to bareback and rough riding and shit. And so she takes it and I'm on my stomach and just like ass in the air. I was like, all right, honey. I was like, go ahead. Let's do it. And then she's like rubbing it on there. And I've never had anything back there. So I'm thinking like, oh, man. This is it. I'm getting fucked. I was like, yeah. Oh, shit. This feels good. Ooh. I'm like, And she's like, Rockman, it's not in yet. And I was like, oh. Okay.
Just the tip was
that? Yeah. You know what? I was like, all right. I was like, not even the tip. She's like, no, nothing. I was like, oh, okay.
Nothing.
I have no idea. You don't know as a guy. I never had a finger up there at that point. It's just nothing. So I feel, you know, that I feel something back there. And I'm like, this is it. I'm getting fucked. It's just as good as I thought it was in the porn. Like, this is so great. Because her like trying to like, you know, get it ready to push it in. So I was like, all right. You know, I was like, well, fuck it. It's like, don't tease me. You know, put the head in. This is only going to get better. If it feels this good.
And this is obviously.
It's going to be real good. Once she gets the whole thing in there. So she's like, all right. And she puts the head in, not even the full head, a quarter of an inch. And I immediately just clench up, just close my butt cheeks, just snap shut. And I start screaming. And I was like, Jesus, did you put the whole thing in? She's like, no, it was just part of the tip. I was like, oh. I'm like sweating at this point. I was like, whew, okay.
Hotel management's so coming up, being like, is everything okay? Are we all
right.
good here?
Yeah.
The and cleaning they're like, oh, lady just comes another pegging couple. Like,
yeah. Right. Yeah. She's like, you need more lube? I've got some for you. So it was brutal. And she kept trying to like talk me through it. She's like, you got to like breathe and relax. And this goes on for like an hour. And we literally don't get past the tip. The tip of the tip. That's as far as we got. And you guys are laughing. You're like, but that's all I did. And so from there, I learned empathy for one. Because I was always kind of the guy who was like, yeah, fucking, let's see. Oh, you're on your period? Let's do anal, girl. So that was just, I stopped asking that question.
Hey, empathy. It all comes back to empathy.
Yeah, I learned empathy. And then the other thing I did was never do pegging again. Like, I learned that what you see in porn, you know, it's you're almost just better off jerking off to it. And then you don't have to like, they do it for you, so you don't have to do it yourself. And what you think you're going to like by watching it isn't the same as when you see it in person. And so, yeah, that was like, I did that and I was like, ugh, I think I'm good. And I really stopped watching so much porn after that as well and started just enjoying normal, good old fashioned Christian sex.
You know what, though? It's so true, though. I feel like porn has kind of really influenced people's expectations of what sex is. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think it's good that it's given people the ability to explore, because you probably wouldn't have even had this idea if it wasn't for porn. But it has given, like, upheld, like, unrealistic expectations for men and women.
Right. Exactly. Yeah, exactly. And if you let yourself get caught up in that, you can just find yourself to be just disappointed in the end. But it kind of made me appreciate just what it meant to just have a normal connection with someone I really like, and you know, not be so gung-ho about the fetishes. Because listening to some of your podcast episodes, the diaper fetish and whatnot, you know, you have sometimes these fetishes will like ruin like relationships, and especially if you just started off. Like, we get that story all the time, you know. I was on a date with a guy and then it was going well, and then he was like, hey, I really like zucchinis up my butt, so maybe you'd be interested in that. And the girl's like, I was like, hell no, I'm vegan, but not anymore. I don't know. So, you know.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break from this hilarious story for a couple quick messages.
This episode is brought to you by Z-Man Games, an array of fun games for adults, one of which is called Love Letter. Now, in this card game, your goal is to win the heart of the noble princess who is looking for an ideal partner and confidant to help with her royal duties when she one day assumes the throne. Your goal is to enlist the characters in the castle to deliver your love letter while keeping other players' letters away. It's trickier than it sounds. Powerful cards lead to early gains but make you a target, and rely on weaker cards for too long and your letter may be tossed in the fire. I find it to be a fun and nice 20-minute mental break during the day. This 2-6 player card game fits in your pocket so you can take it with you anywhere. Love Letter is appropriate for ages 10 and up and is available for $11.99 through Z-Man Games. You can find it at Target, your local game store, or directly through Z-Man's web store.
If you love Dateable, we have a podcast you have to check out. Seeing Other People was created to help you feel less alone and more empowered by your dating life. Hosted by your soon-to-be favorite internet big sis, Alana Dunn, an early Hinge employee, modern dater, and now a fiance, is here to guide you through whatever you're going through. And she covers the gamut of topics, from anti-dating rules, how she went from being an anxious dater to in a secure, healthy relationship, and navigating dating burnout. On Tuesdays, Alana brings on expert guests like dating coaches, matchmakers, psychologists, and more. And on Thursdays, Alana is joined by anonymous real-life daters who bear it all and open up about what they faced in their love lives and what they wish they knew going through it. Seeing Other People will help you change your dating mindset, develop healthy dating habits, and make you feel like you actually can find what you're looking for. Subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts and tune in every Tuesday and Thursday. But I do give credit to your girlfriend, because the irony was that I was actually sitting next to her at your show when you told the story.
Shut up. No, that's right. You were there. I remember that.
Yeah. And she was kind of, she was dying, first of all. I love that we got the behind the scenes that it was really you that wanted it, not her. That's the best part. But in the story, she was just dying. And we also need to get her on the podcast because we have a topic that she offered to do too. But that's another season. But yeah, I remember getting like the behind the scenes. But I do think, though, like, I like this. I'm open for it. You know, like, I think that is something that is important. And while, yeah, there might be some deal breakers, I don't want to ever say that people should try things that they're like really uncomfortable with. But I think sometimes it takes trying something to learn if you like it or not. And in your case, you thought it was going to be something you liked and it turned out you didn't. But you might have just been like obsessed with this idea for like years if you just never tried it.
Exactly. Yeah. And if you have someone who's nice enough to go there with you, it can be great. And, you know, we continued dating beyond that. It wasn't like, well, he wanted me to fuck me up his ass. I was like, no thanks.
And
I was
That's the end.
It's kind of a bonding moment in a way.
Right. Yeah. And every time we walk past that damn sex door, we're like, you know, 3,000.
Did you feel closer to her afterwards?
I did, because it was sort of in the beginning, and it was something that you know, like, brought us together. And we had we tried it again, actually. But this time with a much smaller one. And yeah, and so then, you know, that worked well, but I kind of knew that was like, again, like a birthday thing, you know. It was like once in a while, it couldn't just be on the menu. So yeah, so I mean, that was cool. That kind of brought us together a bit. It's funny because I'm forgetting what I say on stage and what actually happened. It's two different things. So I'm trying to remember I'm getting mixed up between like the stand up and the real story. So the stand up is like, I never did banging again. But the real story is I did it again with her, and then it worked. And then after that, I realized if I want to do this, I should just see a professional. So I saw
like a dominatrix, or
exactly, yeah. So I saw a dominatrix, and then as I was like, I went to one, and I realized like, and then I stopped watching porn, and then it slowly started to fade away, that kind of interest of going to see a dominatrix and all that. So that's the real story. Also, there's a professional dominatrix who I've found watching pegging porn, and I ended up doing an interview with her. And she like reacted to my pegging story on YouTube. So you can actually see God. A professional dominatrix like breaking down what I did wrong. And the first thing she said, and she had like, she was full character and she had her whip and everything. She's like, stop the video, stop the video. She's Australian.
She's like, what were you thinking? Doing a fucking pegging without any lube, you fucking moron.
And
if anyone can take one thing away from this, that's it. No, we're going to have to definitely link to that in our notes.
So but it's just funny.
Your YouTube is Rockman Blake, right?
YouTube is Rockman Blake, yeah. And pegging, yep. Porn star breaks down my pegging video. So, yeah.
If you just search pegging Rockman Blake, you'll find it, right?
No, just search pegging and heart. Rockman comes up. He's number one.
But you know, SEO. But SF is really good for that, San Francisco. For like trying new stuff and getting into the dating scene and getting weird and all that. And our show started there really because like people are kind of open to those kinds of experiences and talking about it. And I realized one of your previous guests that told the story about how the guy on the date got his dick caught in a zipper. She told that story.
Oh yeah, zipper dick.
Zipper dick. I believe she told that story at our show because it happened. She mentioned that.
Oh
yeah. Yeah, we used to give away iTunes gift cards and we would let three people in the audience.
Oh my God, that was come up your and tell show. Stories. That's like full circle.
Yeah,
full
exactly. circle. And I believe it was our show. It sounded like she told the story around the same time and it very much sounded like our show, which is a singles comedy show. And then we had the storytelling portion of the show, which started in San Francisco. And then the storytelling portion was so good because of stories like hers that we just decided to make an entire show just around the storytelling portion of the show. So we pivoted in Silicon Valley, San Francisco speak, to a storytelling show about dating just so people could really feel like they're not alone. You know, they're not the only ones who their dick caught in zippers or strap-ons up their ass.
I'm still stuck on this part of your story where you said you tried it the second time and it worked. Can you just elaborate on what you mean by it worked?
I'm going to be vulnerable here. I don't like this.
Show us your V card. Show us your V card.
I was hoping we could just skip over that. I'm trying to change the subject. I'm like, San Francisco is a great place to date.
Yeah, I know. I love how you're like, stories let's pivot. I'm like, no, but wait. Let's talk about my second dick that was up your ass.
You took a dick up your ass and it worked. Tell me about that shit. So, all right. So we go back to the same store, actually. And instead of looking all the way up on the sizes, we look down on the floor for the smallest one. And there's actually one that said beginner strap-on kit. And one's really meant for dudes because I think it's a woman with the thing on and then it's like four guys or whatever. And it's a tiny one. And it's sort of purple, it's black. That one came with like an instruction manual at least, you know, like make sure you get a lot of lube and all that. And so I bought this and then I just put it in the car. And then we came back from Burning Man again. And then you're always feeling adventurous at the Burning Man. You're trying to relive the high. So I had it. I was unpacking my trunk and forgot that I had it in there. And we're staying on my friend's blow-up mattress in Palo Alto. And she had gone to sleep and it was late at night. And I had unpacked all of her shit. And so like I see this little, you know, beginner strap-on box. And I was like, hey, honey, you know, what are you?
On a blow-up mattress? All right.
Exactly. I was like,
kind of classy.
You want to try this one again? You know, it fucked up last time, but we got the beginner one, right? And she's like, okay, yeah, all right, let's do it, you know, whatever. So she puts it on and it works in the sense like it went in and I was like, all right, fuck me. And she's like trying to kind of get some leverage, but the blow-up mattress is deflating. So so we're just flapping around in this thing like a bouncy house. But it worked in the sense of like it, I was able to get the dick in and then it felt okay. Like it wasn't like, this is what I've been looking for. It was just like, this is better than last time.
Well, let's revisit the Broad City episode because it's so fresh for me. I just watched it yesterday. The whole point of contention was that she does peg him and it was really good. And then she washes the dildo in the dishwasher, which deforms the dildo. So she tries to find the same one at the sex shop and when she tried to use it on him, he was like, no, that's definitely not the one. Right. So what I'm guessing is you might have to just try a few dildos
to get the one
before you find the right one for you. Because he was very adamant that there's only one that's molded to his butthole that he uses.
I think maybe, you know, I don't know. Maybe that's the case.
Maybe you like need a middle one. Like a mid-size. Yeah,
Goldilocks of pegging.
I really don't know. I had done it, but not enough times to finally get to the point where like, this is it. I found the golden dick. I just haven't. It kind of depends on I think, the person doing it. I think that's one of the issues with it was when you are, if someone is nice enough to do it, they're like, all right, I'm doing it, but you know, like that, you know, like
they're
I said.
They're not really into it.
This will just be your birthday. And then that's when I was like, maybe I should go try this with a pro. Let me try someone who knows what they're doing. This was in SF again, which is great because you can find any, you can like find anyone to meet your sexual needs there or anything. And we met at a play party, and it was at this guy's house who's been doing these play parties for years, sort of in southern San Francisco. Mm. And one of the things with play parties is when you get there, you want to like kind of start your playing early, because if you get there late, like everyone's got like saliva on them and it's kind of gross, you know, everyone's paired off. Mm. The person you want is they're like in a closet somewhere sucking some dude's dick. You're like, damn it, I came here just for them. So everyone, it's like a game of like musical chairs with dicks. You're like, oh, it's all taken. So I
will never look at musical chairs again.
So I get there and I was with my girl at the time, but we were breaking up and we kind of knew the relationship was on the fritz. And she was sort of in a place, like the only dry spot in one of these like sea of beds of people like hooking up and fucking. And I remember going over to her and I was about to fall. And there was other people like around me. I was like, I'm going to ruin this orgy that's happening. And some woman sees me at the corner of her eye about to fall. And she must have been good at multitasking because she was also sucking this massive dick. And she's like, she sees me kind of falling like, ah, shit. She's like, here, take my hand.
Sound
effects. I'm like, oh. She gives me her hand that was just on this massive dick. A two-hander dick, by the way. Two-hander on this two-hander dick. All saliva'd up. And she's like, here, take my hand. And I was like, ah! And then I had no choice because I was going to either fall and impale myself on this dick or take her hand. So like I grab her hand. I'm like, oh, shit. Thank you, Samantha. And I kind of sit down with my girl. I had stopped drinking at that point for like, you know, 30 days. I try to do these things where I abstain from things, whatever. And then I go back into it. And, you know, I go much harder. So I was like, all right, no drinking for 30 days. So I'm going to fucking take some whiskey and that's it. But then I'm also going to take this random pill a stranger gave me. And that's it. Just one random pill.
That's it.
One shot of whiskey. But that's it.
Yeah, you know? That's it.
It's like, it's fine. I'm taking it light. And I ended up throwing up projectile vomit. Like exorcist. Right in the middle of the orgy. And you never seen so many naked people just scatter. Just boom. Like a bomb went off and just dicks and tits. Everyone was just clearing the fuck out. And I felt so bad because I wasn't blacked out drunk. So I remember fucking everything. I was like, this is so bad. Yeah, Samantha was sucking that big dick and the dude was like, hey, you fucked it up for me. Everywhere. And my girl, she was mortified because she's like, this is over.
Yeah.
She likes making friends. She likes to have everyone have a good vibe. And there I am just like, and it was so gross. And the guy who owns the house, this must have happened so many times because he's like, oh yep, that. Did you get a pill from Johnny Electric? Oh, you can't take those.
The
Transformers, those will do it to you. Yep, happens every time. He's like, it's fine.
Oh,
he's like,
my God.
He cleans everything up, throws it in the wash. I'm in the shower. He gives me a toothbrush while I'm in the shower. This is how like supportive the play community is. Most people think play, it's like, oh, people are going to be so weird and trying to like, you know, shove broomstick up your ass. But he was so nice. Oh. He's like, here's a toothbrush, bro. And so then, you know, I just go to sleep because I was feeling like shit. And then I wake up and I was like, fuck, you know, I missed the play party, right? Like I was, you don't go to that many of them. I only go to maybe once, twice a year. I fucking missed it. But then there was a few people left. And so I'm like walking around the house trying to like, yeah, I'm feeling good. Brush my teeth. Thinking like maybe there's someone around.
The morning after?
Maybe like, there's someone around. Does anyone remember that I was the guy that puked? Yeah.
Yeah. No, everyone was gone by then. So I was like, you know, there's a whole new batch of people. So I was like, they had no idea that I did an exorcist vomit.
Oh, it's like the church service that comes in the next day. You're like, oh, hey.
So, and there was one girl who had just got off from work. I was like, what do you do for work? She says, I'm a dominatrix. Oh,
perfect.
I was like pegging? You do pegging? She's like, yeah, that's one of the things I do. I was like, oh, that's so cool. Can I get your number? She's like, yeah, sure. So then we meet up again at the same house because she was this guy's roommate. And we make plans to go to Fondue Cowboy in Soma. I don't know if it's still there. So we're getting fondue. We're sitting there.
Like cheese?
Cheese fondue, yeah. Cheese fondue restaurant.
You're doing this before you're going to peg? Like, hey, look, I'm just so confused by your
listen,
train
I tell
of
you,
thought here.
I am not an expert, by the way. I'm not the pegging expert.
But you're with an expert.
Amateur.
And she let you.
I'm an amateur. Well, you know, I mean, I don't know. Cheese, it takes a while for the stuff to pass through your system.
Takes a while.
Wasn't going to be like a 72-hour pegging experience. I mean, we had time. She seemed fine. So we're eating fondue and it's going well. And she's kind of, I'm asking her about her job, you know, and she's been doing it for a while. And she's very pretty. She's blonde hair. She's very cute. And she has a little fanny pack next to her. And I was like, what's in the fanny pack? She's like, oh, those are my party favors. I was like, oh, okay. Yeah. So we get back to the place. And I was like, what kind of party favors you got rolling here? And she's like, well, whatever you want. It's like nearly every letter of the alphabet. And you asked before, did you do any poppers? And I was like, no, but this girl had like everything. So she
was a pro.
She knew what was up. So we were like snorting, inhaling, doing the whole alphabet. And yes, I fucking do drugs, but just on occasion. And,
just with pegging.
Just on occasion. And we're going
to open
all
up
this
my
shit.
Butthole. That's all. Don't judge.
And then she's like, this will relax you. And she gives me a cap of GHB. Mm. And yeah, it was consensual date rape. It was awesome. And I was like, I'll take it. And she gives me this thing. And then we go into the bedroom. And she had her own strap on. You put a condom on it and she cleans it and whatnot. And this was like, I guess a more, what do you call it? A better one. The anal annihilator 17,000. But it was
more
professional one. Yeah. And so she puts this thing on and then I lie down and she knew what she was doing. She put on gloves and then she starts teasing my asshole. And then she puts a finger in slowly and gets me warmed up. And that's what I did not do before.
Yeah.
At that point, I'm like just begging for it. I was like, oh, when are you going to fuck me? She's like, that's what I like to hear. And I was like, oh, it's happening.
Oh.
And then she starts. And it was so good. It was so good.
Really? Like, okay, yeah. Okay. So you did have that good pegging.
I did.
So I think this has been so interesting in general. Ooh. I mean, first of all, you are such a good storyteller. I could probably listen to you tell stories all day long, but I actually learned
a lot
about
pegging.
Yeah.
Yes.
I learned a lot about pegging, but I think like the biggest takeaway I have from this whole conversation is definitely be open to things, but maybe it's starting a little smaller. I think going for the big one, like right off the bat, might have been like overzealous. I think we're always like, we want to do the biggest and the best, like from day one. But a lot of times it's like easing into something a little bit more. And it sounds like with other experiences, you were kind of able to get that. Other takeaway I have is like, be open to trying stuff. Like we kind of talked about it. Like I like commend your girlfriend for like doing that and like being there to like kind of go through that with you. And I don't think everyone would do that. And I think that while, again, not saying that anyone should ever like push their boundaries beyond what they're comfortable with, but at least stop to think like, could I enjoy this? Could I try this? Like, what's the worst that can happen? And if you really don't like it, at that point you can be like, hey, I don't like this. Like, if you want to like get this need met, maybe there's another way. But like, at least you know, and at least you're open. Like, we've heard like stories of people just like shutting down fetishes, and we kind of alluded to this earlier. It's like, what is the right time? Maybe like right away is too much, but no one wants to be like shut down for their desires either. So at least like hearing people out is always, I think, the best way forward. And whether it ends up being something that's like a daily repertoire or like, you know, once a year on your birthday or never again, then you can at least decide after you've given it a shot.
Amen. Yeah, I love that.
I just feel like what I'm learning from this is everything starts with a seed of curiosity. And you can either choose to keep watering that seed, or you can say, okay, maybe it's just a seed and I'm just going to bury it. But I like the idea of just building on top of it one by one. I like that you you planted the seed from corn, but also you were thinking like, how can I move this along a little bit? So I felt like every experience you had with pegging was just building on and watering the seed. And yes, I commend your girlfriend as well for being along for the ride. And I think in a partnership, that's what it is. This is just an adventure. And the two of you, forget the stigma, forget even calling it pegging or that's a dildo or a strap-on. I think these are labels that are damaging to us because they are stigmatized. But what if it's a toy and this is a play and this is a position, then there's just not that much stigma attached to it. I think anything with anal, it's just like, for some reason I felt my butt just clench up right now just even saying the word anal. Like, I don't know why we don't openly talk about this stuff, but that is the root of every good dating story. It always starts with some sort of anal play, right?
Yep.
So if you are into it, let's openly talk about it, but also do your research, prep for it. I had someone who told me about doing anal beads with a girl and she did not prep for it and she just projectile diarrhea the entire room because she did not prep for it. So I'm just saying, with anal, think with everything, with play and fetishes, we just got to do our research and know that we got to do the prep work before we get to the, you know, climax.
Yeah. And that's another product for Dateable. How to do anal right. Sponsored by
the beginner's guide.
That's our new course. That's our new audio course. It's going to be out soon.
First 15 minutes, just pure meditation. Yeah. Pure meditation for the first 15 minutes.
But I think, though, one of the things, though, that I've heard this from guys outside of you, Rockman, of like, there is the stigma of like butt play with men because of this, you know, like us feeling like it's gay and like all this stuff. Even men that are bisexual, like it's more of a stigmatized role than like if you're a woman that's bisexual. And I think it's up to women and men to kind of help destigmatize that a bit. Like, I think a lot of times, like as a woman, we make judgments also. So I think in general, like trying to be a little like more judgment free, I know it's easier said than done, but looking at it as just like a pleasure zone and like someone that like is exploring something that they're interested in, not necessarily like if they use a dildo, that means they're gay. Like, it could, but doesn't need to mean that either.
Absolutely. And also, if you are interested in this thing and perhaps your partner is not so much, be open to seeing a professional, like, and even running it by your partner. Because one thing that if you're into female domination, one thing they won't do is have sex with you. So you can be worried. You won't be worried as a woman that, you know, your guy is cheating. He's just kind of getting his needs met in a way that perhaps you can't meet them. But then he's right back with you. And, you know, he has a funny story to tell you if you're willing to go there. But it's
outsource.
Sometimes there are things that you're just like, hey, I tried this and I'm not willing to do it, but I don't want to like deprive you. Because I think when people feel like deprived of their needs, that's when like things, you know, more resentment builds. But like, I love this, like, let's look at alternatives. Maybe there is another way that's not like going against your values or them cheating or whatever.
Yeah, I always believe in outsourcing. There are reasons why professionals are put into the positions they're in. It's because they're experts at it. So if I'm not very good at giving blowjobs, please, by all means, this woman down the street who is an expert can do the job for me. I've actually proposed that to my boyfriend. He was like, that is so weird. I don't like that. I'm like, outsource. If I don't want to do it in a relationship.
Yeah, if it doesn't mean anything, right?
It doesn't mean anything. Like, yeah.
Right.
You get your needs met and I don't have to do it.
I do think the biggest thing that I am getting from this, though, I know you kind of close with this, that's empathy. But it is. Like, I think just like, you know, like the woman realizing like how much work their man is doing and having a little more empathy to that. And then also like being like, okay, maybe I won't be like pressing for butt play all the time, especially when they're not like prepped and prepared, right? Like, you kind of have that empathy for the other.
Exactly.
And be okay if you're into anal play. I know it's just like such a taboo thing. One of my best friends works in the ER and she's like, you know what? The most work I ever do in the ER is taking objects out of people's asses. Because especially during COVID, she was like, oh my God, I've never seen so many objects stuck up people's asses. She sent me a picture the other day. She's like, do you even recognize what this is?
Oh my
God. I looked closely and I was like, I don't know. What is it? She's like, it's a fucking fucking light bulb. Like, this is how love anal play, but they're not getting it, or they're not experimenting with it. They're not going to the sex shop to get actually safe objects to put up their ass. It was a light bulb. She's seen electric toothbrushes. In fact, that's a huge one.
Oh my God.
Pickles.
Yeah.
Pickles are a big one. And she said those are the hardest because they're slimy, so you can't even get it out. They just have to poop it out. I mean, come on, guys. Obviously, the data points to the fact that we are interested in anal. Yeah. Right. We're curious about it. Let's destigmatize it so we can use products that are made for the butt.
You're probably going to have a section of the hospital for that. Yeah. Just for the butt.
Yeah, go to the sex toy shop. Maybe start with the beginner model. I think that's something that we all learned from this. The one with the instructions, right?
Yeah.
And the other thing is, so she, you know, people go in the ER and they have their emergency contact. And most of the people are like, do not call my emergency contact. That is my mom. I don't want her to know. Right? Yeah, so there we go.
Oh my God.
We had a funny story, actually, from Perth, Australia. Woman from the audience came up to tell a story, and a guy had just purchased a little bullet vibrator, and he was playing around with it and kind of, you know, putting it in and out, and then lost his grip on it and got sucked into her butthole and couldn't get it out. So they had to go to the ER and they had to help remove this vibrator that was still vibrating. And it was after 8 hours from start to finish, the whole experience, they got it out. Damn. And the thing was still vibrating. And so,
holy shit.
Her nickname was Buzz Butt.
Oh my God. Wow. I think that my final takeaway here, though, is like, yes, a lot of guys, a lot of men like the butt play and women too, but like also ask your partner.
Yeah, not everybody. Yeah.
No, exactly. So I think it's like, while there might be some, at the end of the day, it still needs to be a communication thing, not just like a finger or a dildo out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that one, it wasn't out of nowhere for that story, though. She was in, she wanted to do it also, but yeah, too funny, man.
Oh, man. Well, Rockman, you are full of stories. How can people, I know we gave your website earlier and your YouTube. How can people follow you on your adventure?
YouTube's and Instagram's is the best. And the show, we tour around the world. We try to do, well, before COVID, we would come to San Francisco twice a year. And then we would do the States twice a year, but now probably just once a year. But you can find us at storyparty.co. And then if you just Google Story Party Tour, you'll find all of our YouTubes and Instagram and all that good stuff.
Awesome. And we'll link all that in our show notes also. Thank you so much, Rockman. This was so much fun. We're so glad that we were able to get you on Dateable finally.
Yes. Yeah. Finally. Thank you, guys.
I forgot that we were doing Dateable. I actually just thought we were like catching up with Rockman after all these years. So tell me about the time that you got pegged. And then, Rockman's like, oh, by the way, it happened three times. Did you, did you like... Were you like, wait, I thought this was one pegging story.
I'm just glad that we got the real behind the scenes of what really went down. That's all I'm happy about.
Well, you guys are great hosts because you were sitting there like, come on, we know there's something else. God damn it. I'm not used to an audience
got
doing
it
that.
Out of you.
Yeah, the audience is like, great, next story. But you guys are like, you lived in San Francisco for that long. We know something else happened. So yeah, I appreciate you guys. Thank you. Thank you so much.
There's more to the story. And for all of our listeners, for us to get awesome guests such as Rockman, it really helps when you give us a 5-star review in Apple Podcasts. Just head on over there. 5 stars, quick comment about how much you love Rockman really helps us to get great guests, to get great content, and to get awesome stories so people feel comfortable talking about stuff being up their buttholes, you know, on our show.
You are never alone. Never alone.
In anything, yes. And then, no sexual adventure is ever unique. If you've thought about it, someone else is doing it already. Right. That's what I've learned. Yes. Okay, so on that note, we're going to wrap this up. Rockman,
stay dateable
and lubricated.
The Dateable Podcast is part of the Frolic Podcast Network. Find more podcasts you'll love at frolic.media/podcasts.
Want to continue the conversation? First, follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter with the handle @DateablePodcast. Tag us in any post with the hashtag #StayDateable, and trust us, we look at all those posts. Then head over to our website, datablepodcast.com. There you'll find all the episodes, as well as articles, videos, and our coaching service with vetted industry experts. You can also find our premium Why series, where we dissect, analyze, and offer solutions to some of the most common dating conundrums. We're also downloadable for free on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Overcast, Stitcher Radio, and other podcast platforms. Your feedback is valuable to us, so don't forget to leave us a review. And most importantly, remember to stay dateable.